Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ready from Canto 3, Chapter 22, The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, text number 16. Kama sabhuyan naradevatesya.
Kama sabhuyan naradevatesya.
Putya samam naya vidho pratitaha.
Putya samam naya vidho pratitaha.
Ka eva te ta nayam nadriyeta. Svayaiva kantya chipatim iva sriyam. Kama sabhuyan naradeva tesyaha. Putriya samam naya vidho pratitaha. Ka eva te ta nayam nadriyeta. Svayaiva kantya chipatim iva sriyam. Kama, desire. Saha,
that.
Puyat, let it be fulfilled. Naradeva.
Naradeva.
O king.
Te.
Your.
Asyaha.
This. Putriyaha. Of the daughter. Samamnaya. Vidho.
In the process of the Vedic scriptures.
Patitaha.
Recognized.
Kaha.
Who?
Eva. In fact.
Te.
Your.
Tanayam.
Daughter.
Na
adrieta. Would not adore.
Swaya.
By her own.
Eva.
Alone.
Kantya.
Bodily luster.
Kshipatim.
Excelling.
Eva.
As if.
Shriyam.
Ornaments. Let your daughter's desire for marriage, which is recognized in the Vedic scriptures, be fulfilled. Who would not accept her hand? She is so beautiful that by her bodily luster alone she excels the beauty of her ornaments. Purport, Kardama Muni wanted to marry Devahuti in the recognized manner of marriage prescribed in the scriptures. Samamnaya vidho. As stated in the Vedic scriptures, the first class process is to call the bridegroom to the home of the bride and hand her to him in charity with a dowry of necessary ornaments, gold, furniture, and other household paraphernalia. This form of marriage is prevalent among higher class Hindus even today and is declared in the Shastras to confer great religious merit on the bride's father. To give a daughter in charity to a suitable son-in-law is considered to be one of the pious activities of a householder. There are 8 forms of marriage mentioned in the scripture, Manusmriti, but only one process of marriage, Brahma or Rajasika marriage, is now current. Rajasika. Other kinds of marriage, by love, by exchange of garlands, or by kidnapping the bride, are now forbidden in this Kali age. Formerly, Kshatriyas would, at their pleasure, kidnap a princess from another royal house, and there would be a fight between the Kshatriya and the girl's family. Then, if the kidnapper was the winner, the girl would be offered to him for marriage. Even Krishna married Rukmini by that process, and some of his sons and grandsons also married by kidnapping. Krishna's grandsons kidnapped Duryodhana's daughter, which caused a fight between the Kuru and Yadu families. Afterward, an adjustment was made by the elderly members of the Kuru family. Such marriages were current in bygone ages, but at the present moment they are impossible because the strict principles of Kshatriya life have practically been abolished. Since India has become dependent on foreign countries, the particular influences of her social orders have been lost. Now, according to the scriptures, everyone is a Sudra. The so-called Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas have forgotten their traditional activities, and in the absence of these activities, they are called Sudras. It is said in the scriptures, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone will be like Sudras. The traditional social customs are not followed in this age, although formerly they were followed strictly. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. One of the problems with our so-called modern, well, it's modern, but culture, is that most people don't really know what the purpose of life is. Yet they profess, They make out that they know. This is the defect of material existence, or one of the defects of material existence, that we're an illusion, but still we speak as if we know the truth. One of the reasons why the devotees, when they speak, they refer to Shastra, to the rules and regulations that are prescribed in the Shastra, in the Vedic scriptures. Samam naya vidho pratitaha, that which is recognized by the Vedic literature. The Vedic literatures are like a manual. When you purchase a machine, you'll always get a set of instructions on how to use it. So similarly also, the material creation, which is a machine effectively made of material energy upon which all of the living entities are situated, has a manual. That manual is the Vedas. The Vedas teach us what the universe or the creation is meant to be used for. Which is why the activities of the brahmanas or the heads of society is to distribute this knowledge, to give people an opportunity to understand what their actual purpose is. You know, marriage, or at least the combination of a boy and a girl, whilst it is an element of that relationship, is for sense gratification, it's not the only thing. Because, you know, what happens in material life is you have enjoyment, but it's not a one-sided coin. With enjoyment comes suffering. This is the nature of material existence. Dukkha dosha anudarshanam. The Vedas and the followers of the Vedas are aware of the fact that the pursuit of happiness will always be tainted by the realities of frustration in material existence. Jamma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. So, you know, Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, jamma, birth, mrityu, death. Old age and disease. This is a, you know, there may be some pleasure in the material world, certainly there is, but it's punctuated by the suffering. So it's a, and so therefore Krishna recommends titikshava, one has to tolerate. Sitoshna, sukha dukkha daha, one has to tolerate the happiness and distress. So, the combination of a boy and a girl is there's some happiness to be derived from such a combination, but there will also be the struggle that comes from material existence. And so one needs to know that in advance. And that the purpose of existence is not, well, yes, we want to enjoy because it's natural. Krishna is an enjoyer. He's the supreme enjoyer. We're part and parcel of Krishna, so it's not unusual that we also want to enjoy. Right? Who doesn't want to be happy? Peaceful. Peaceful, at least. Peaceful, you know, a peaceful state of mind comes happiness. But it won't be achieved by material means. What is it? Adhyantavanta kuntaya nateshu ramate buddha. Those who are intelligent, buddha. Buddha means intelligent or learned, buddha. Understand that in the material existence, adi It has a beginning, and anta, it has an end. Adyanta vanta kunteya na teshu ramate buddha. Nahi samspasa ja boga dukkha yonaya evate. Engagements of the senses with the objects of the senses brings about actually unhappiness. Because it all gets destroyed in the end. Even you may be a big, 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 big enjoyer. Right? But big, big, big enjoyer means later on big, big, big sufferer. Huh? Have you noticed? So the Bhagavad Gita warned, because nobody wants to hear these kind of things. Ooh, this is so pessimistic. Yeah. But realistic. And as Prabhupada points out many times, just as and Prabhupada gives some very graphic examples, you know, our pursuit of enjoyment is like a thirsty person, right? If you're very, very thirsty, what do you think about? Water. Yeah, water. And so, and Prabhupada says, our desire to enjoy is like a thirsty man's desire to have a drink of water. But in material life, the pleasure that we get from the enjoyment that we pursue is just like a thirsty man. He wants 2 litres of water, but you give him a drop. That's it. Huh? Or another example that Prabhupada gives of a mirage. You know, we're looking for water in the desert and we see the mirage in the distance. Any of you been in outback Australia and driven down the road? South Australia's very common. In the Flinders Ranges, you know, there's a beautiful drive from, well, you have to be an Australian, I think, to appreciate the beauty, because it's not beauty at all, really. It's desert. But if you drive from Mildura over the back roads to Burra was an old copper mining town. In fact, the Sampsons in my family used to live in Burra because they were miners from Cornwall. So they came to South Australia and they went into the mines. Anyway, beautiful drive. And as you come to the Flinders Ranges, and you're kind of coming down, and the Flinders Ranges are way off in the distance. And I remember driving down the roads are straight, you know, just for tens of kilometres. And in the distance, you can see the mirage in the valleys. You see the mirage; it looks like water. But as you drive towards the mirage, you think, but the mirage keeps on moving away, right? So this is material enjoyment. You move towards it, and it actually moves away. But it's so attractive. So Prabhupada says that there is enjoyment in the material world is indicative of the fact that there is real enjoyment. Enjoyment does exist, but it's not experienced in its true form in the material world, but rather it can only be experienced in its real manifestation in its real form in the spiritual world. We're bombarded or we're disturbed by so many material desires. You know, Krishna gives that example in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Mind is like the ocean in which the rivers are constantly flowing. But because the ocean is so big, so vast, it's not disturbed. by the incessant flow of the rivers. So the mind of a saintly person is so deep and so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, in thoughts of devotional service, that the distractions of material impressions and the pushings, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, all of these different pushings of the mind and the senses don't disturb the person who's deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Then the desires are desires to serve Krishna, desires to work with the devotees, desires to preach. So then one's not disturbed by that mirage of, you know, happiness or pleasure in material existence, because one's absorbed in param drishtva, right? Higher taste, the higher taste of devotional service. One's not disturbed. So the Vedic scriptures teach this information that one shouldn't attempt to, Prabhupada says, vain attempt to enjoy in material existence. It's literally a waste of time, because the pleasures will give way to suffering in due course of time. So one has to learn to tolerate these things. But if one can be absorbed in devotional practices, devotional service, and so this is, if then one can, one's consciousness, one's activities, one's existence becomes purified. And so therefore we have these prescriptions given within the Vedas. But of course Prabhupada is saying here, we don't follow these anymore. Nobody follows it. Nobody has a depth of understanding of the futility of material activities. They're simply enamored by the pursuit of sense gratification. A very bad association, actually. Was it? Sangat sanjayate kama. We're associating with an atmosphere or an environment which is charged with calm or lust, passion, basically. Passion and ignorance. And so therefore, the age of Kali is a very dark age, because the light of transcendental knowledge, of spiritual knowledge, of spiritual practice, is covered by the denseness of darkness that exists in the Kali atmosphere. That's why we study the Bhagavatam. Because right? In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, is it Vyasadev? Mentions how in the age of Kali, people will get light and shelter and satisfaction from studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're witnessing here in the marriage of Kadama Muni and Devahuti, we're seeing this traditional, this system of marriage, where the father invites the bridegroom to his house and then gives the bride in charity to the bridegroom and the family of the bridegroom. Prabhupada says here, this form of marriage is prevalent among higher class Hindus even today, and is declared in the Shastras to confer great religious merit on the bride's father. So, you know, most fathers, if they've got daughters and they worry, especially the Indian families, they worry about what they're going to do with their daughter. Right? And then their daughters go off and do what they like. Right? That's a source of more worry, more anxiety. To give a daughter in charity to a suitable son-in-law is considered to be one of the pious activities of a householder. There are 8 forms of marriage. But only one process of marriage, Brahma or Rajasika marriage, is now current. Other kinds of marriage, by love, by exchange of garlands, or by kidnapping the bride, are now forbidden in this Kali age. I don't know about. Prabhupada says, by love are forbidden, but that's what's going on. But I guess forbidden in terms of the Shastric injunctions. But as far as the general populace goes, that's what they do. And that's considered okay. But in fact, you know, the more relationships you can have, the bigger a hero you are considered to be. Right? And then Prabhupada talks here about the Kshatriyas. Would kidnap a princess. And there would be a fight. And that's not, you know, Krishna married like that. Arjuna. Balaram wanted Subhadra, his sister, to be married to Duryodhana, right? And he was the eldest brother. So, eldest brother makes the ruling, we have to follow it. Right? So what did Krishna do? He suggested to Arjuna, I think you should just kidnap her. Right? Steal her first before Duryodhana. To see, and Prabhupada says, just see how affectionate Krishna was to Arjuna. He gave him an inside tip. Right? If you want to win this race, you better steal her now. Right? But could you imagine if, you know, our brahmacharis were stealing girls? Our young men in our communities were stealing girls. Now, why is that not appropriate for us? Why is that not appropriate for us? Anybody like to say? Huh?
It's illegal.
Yeah. It's illegal. Not, yeah, it's illegal. Yeah, it's illegal. But why is it not? Okay, that's one reason. Another reason?
Against Shastra.
Huh?
Against Shastra.
Against the Shastra. Who said that? You said that. Okay. Against the Shastra. But it's not against the Shastra. For the Kshatriyas, it's okay. Why is it not okay for us?
We're all Shudras.
We're all Shudras. Well, speak for yourself. But yes, that's a good point. Our culture is primarily Brahminical culture, isn't it? In ISKCON, we're supposed to be encouraging Brahminical culture. And you know, young men pursuing young women is considered to be uncultured because there's a lack of sense control. Right? Samo damas tapaso cham. So sense control is one of the qualities of a Brahmana. Whereas a Kshatriya is Sauryam, Viryam, Tejas, strength, power, generous, charitable. These are the qualities of the Kshatriyas. So, it was acceptable. And here's another thing. If the Kshatriyas are running around kidnapping women, then the Sudras are going to think, oh, if it's okay for him, then I'll do it too. In fact, that's what we've got mostly these days. Sudras running around doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And this can be quite confusing, actually. You know, this kind of presentation. The fact that the Bhagavad Gita, which is considered to be one of the highest philosophical treatises, is spoken on a battlefield and on the eve of 18 days of destruction. And you can't read the Bhagavad Gita and come away with a pacifist's philosophy or theology. You can't. I mean, people try to, right? But it's nonsense. But that's challenging for people, right? Very challenging. So, Kshatriyas kidnapping wives and Bhagavad Gita spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Sanat. It can be very bewildering for people who study the Vedic literature to come away with a correct conclusion, or certainly to come away with a conclusion of devotion. That's why we need, along with the scripture, the manual, we also need the teacher. The guru is required. Guru, sadhu, shastra. So in order to understand the shastra appropriately, or understand the principles of the shastra and then know how to apply them, again, Brahminical culture, jnanam, vijnanam. Knowledge just by itself can be dangerous if it's not tempered with a proper understanding of how to apply it. Because we could say here, oh, the Vedas recommend, kidnapping your wife. Right? Okay, great. Better make sure that you've got some big brothers to look after you, right? Because there was a fight between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, wasn't there? And Balaram was going to drag Hastinapur off into the Jamuna because of that fight. Because Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra. Is that story? Or was it a different story? Samba. Oh, okay. Yeah, but a similar thing. Similar situation, right? It's going on all the time. It'd be all over the newspapers. In fact, it is all over the newspapers. It's just that it's a bunch of sudras doing it, and it's just out of control. So Prabhupada says here, when the Vedic system was strictly followed, then these part of that system. But hard to understand from our perspective, because we can't see that culture in practice. And as Prabhupada says here, kalo sudra sambhava. Everybody's basically a sudra or less. There's no adherence to the Vedic scriptures. There's just a pursuit of material sense gratification without the balance of the culture of developing spiritual knowledge. And that's important for us, because we need to understand the principles of Vedic culture and then how to apply them, especially in this day and age. Much of what was performed or done in what we what Prabhupada calls Vedic, is not applicable in this day and age, because things are just so upside down and so topsy-turvy. So, you know, kidnapping of wives, it's illegal. Or even Prabhupada says here, love, exchange of garlands, kidnapping the bride, now forbidden in the Kali age. That's what, you know, in the 80s, if the single men and the single women wanted to run off, then that's what they'd do. They'd exchange garlands in front of the deities, right? Then, pew, woo-hoo, we're married now. Honey ball. But here, Prabhupada says, such marriages were current in bygone ages. But at the present moment, they are impossible because the strict principles of Kshatriya life have practically been abolished. Yeah. So, a society of sudras or less. And so, whilst we encourage and support the Varna Ashram system, it is done so in a very modified fashion from what we read in the from the Vedic age, if you like, and what of that Vedic age we can apply now is very, very different. So when Lord Chaitanya, I just saw this last night, when Lord Chaitanya was talking to the Tattvavadis, the leader of the Tattvavadis, then it's interesting what Lord Chaitanya said. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, so he knows everything, right? Vedanta krid veda vid eva chaham. From me come the Vedas, the Vedanta, and the purpose of the Vedas and the Vedanta is to know me. So Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, is the exemplar of devotional service, and of course he knows everything. But when he spoke to the leader of the Tattvavadis, he said, I know nothing of the goal of life and how to achieve it. Right? Sadhya sadhana. Na. I know nothing about. So he asked, the leader of the Tattvavadis said basically that the Varnashram system is the perfection of life. But then Lord Chaitanya countered. He said, I've read in the scriptures that actually the real purpose of life, especially in the Kali Yuga, is to hear and chant about Krishna. And so, you know, we find Prabhupada encouraging the Varna Ashram system and the establishment of Varna and Ashram activities and duties and so forth. But that's all to facilitate the actual engagement or the real engagement or the proper engagement for everyone in the Kali Yuga is basically to follow the Bhagavad Vidhi or the process of devotional service, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam, right? Hearing and chanting. And so therefore, you know, Prabhupada really, when he came, and this is recommended in the Bhagavatam, Shrimbatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. You know, our first process is hearing and chanting. And then when people are pacified by that, then we can encourage them to follow a more structured and ordered set of relationships in society, basically modelled on the Varna, which means, you know, get a job, really. Varna means get a job, doesn't it? And as I mentioned the other day, what are most of us doing? What kind of work are we doing? Sudra work.
Yeah.
You go and work for somebody else, you're a Sudra. That's basically what we're doing. But that's fine. That's good. Because, you know, if you're unemployed, then you're not much use to anybody. So get a job. Unless, you know, and otherwise, and that can be in a range of activities. And ashrama, usually what do we encourage most people to do? Huh? Yeah, get married. You know, this is the general trend. Okay, there will be some people who won't need to enter into the Grihastha ashram, but most of us will. And so therefore, you know, if you can be peacefully married and have a job and maintain your sadhana, your devotional service, then that's a major achievement. That's a major achievement. And that's really as much varna and ashram as we need, you know, when you think about it. But let's not make it too complicated. It's Kali Yuga after all said and done. So get a job, get married, then chant Hare Krishna, because the whole idea is to be peaceful. And so that you can then pursue, or we can then now pursue our Krishna consciousness. That's the real purpose of life. So therefore, we satisfy our material needs by those activities. And when they're catered for, then let's get to the real, as Lord Chaitanya says, sadhya, sadhana means to chant Hare Krishna. That's the main purpose of life. Huh? There's a time management philosophy which says you should focus on the one big thing, right? And maybe a couple of little things. So if you have a to-do list, it's all about task management, then what you do is you just write down the one big thing that you should be doing. Right? Today I should do this. Then concentrate on doing that. Forget everything else. Right? The argument is that good time management means resisting the millions of other things that you could possibly be doing and just do the one big thing. How does that sound for a philosophy of time management? Right? What do you think? One big thing, just do that. Of course, when you've done the one big thing, then think of the next big thing. The problem is we can't work out what the big thing is. There's too many of them, right? So anyway, for the devotees, the one big thing is to chant Hare Krishna. That's our one big thing. If we do that, then everything else will fall into place. Krishna Vanam, Twisha Krishnam, Sangos Pangastra, what is it? Sangos Sangastra, Pangastra Parashanam, Yagyai Shankitam Praya Yajantihi Sumeda Saha. Those who have a little bit of intelligence, Sumeda, right? Or fine intelligence. Those with finer intelligence in the Kali Yuga will join the Sankirtan movement and chant Hare Krishna. That's our main activity. That's our jagya, right? Yajantihi sumeda saha. That sacrifice is considered the topmost activity. So, how many Kshatriyas here? Raise your hands. Okay, no Kshatriyas. So probably not appropriate for us to go running around kidnapping young girls. But we need to wait. You'll have to wait until a qualified bride is offered by her father. Right? You may be waiting some time. But there is a saying, patience is a virtue. You know, to find, in this particular case, Prabhupada mentions, Kadama Muni and Devahuti, similar disposition, so a very good match. And that's kind of the culture. The Brahminical culture is done in a very peaceful, the Kshatriya culture is a lot more, there's more Raja involved, and so there's a lot, potentially, certainly in this day and age, that would be the cause of so much disturbance. It must have been a cause of disturbance then too, because Prabhupada says, you know, there's a fight, and then the elders have to get together and make, you know, pat it all down and negotiate a peaceful settlement. Right? And, you know, you wonder why the, you know, the kunkum in a, I used to tell this story in the weddings, but you know the kunkum in a woman's, in a parting of a, of the bride's hair, you know what that represents? Huh? The blood of the fellows that you beat up to win the bride. Huh? So we just can't conceive of that kind of culture. Huh? If the brahmacharis were fighting over the who's going to marry so-and-so, that would just be considered uncultured from the brahminical point of view, right? And that's why Devahuti and Karadama Muni are such a exemplar, because they show us the cultured, brahminical way of marriage. That's why they're in the pages of the Bhagavatam. And that the real purpose was to, ultimately, what's the story of Kadama Muni and Devahuti leading to? Kapiladev. Right? Kapiladev. And what's Kapiladev teaching? Bhakti. Bhakti. How to be a devotee. Right? His instructions to his mother is all about devotional service. So, you know, as is the want in the Bhagavatam, every story pretty much leads us to the point of pure devotional service. That's why the Bhagavatam, that's why we study the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, why else would we? Huh? Okay, does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points? The mind.
Although we know that we are not this mind, but when we are in a dark situation,
the mind will give you hell.
And it gets involved. And,
Mind is very powerful.
How do you
control the mind? I don't know. Sometimes. Krishna says, well, Arjuna says very, very difficult. To control the mind is chanchalam hi mana Krishna. Right? To control the mind is like trying to control the wind. It's difficult. And Krishna says, yes, it is difficult, but there is a method. The method is two things. Cultivating two things. Detachment or regulation and detachment. Right? So sadhana, and just ignore it. Not easy. So if we have a regular sadhana routine and that we concentrate on that, then the mind's demands become lesser because we can ignore them. And if you neglect the demands of the mind, you know, there's that story of the somebody knocking on your door. Well, if you come and if somebody comes to your door, they knock on the door, but you don't answer the door, what happens? They knock again, usually. They might even knock three times, but if you don't go to the door, they'll eventually go away. Right? So the mind's like that. It'll demand, give me this, give me that. I've got to have this, I've got to have that. But you just ignore it. It'll go away. But then it'll come back. May even come back stronger. Hey, who do you think you are? Why are you ignoring me? I'm the mind. I'm your friend. I've been your faithful friend for so long. Why aren't you serving me? Right? So then practice. That, and again, that's the sadhana. Practice. When you go to the top of the Rialto and the mind says, jump, you don't jump. Right? The intelligence says, hey, hang on a second, this is maybe not a good idea. So therefore we strengthen our intelligence in order to control the mind by studying Prabhupada's books, actually, by reading. If you want to, one of the ways we control our minds, well, we need to purify the mind so that when a mind comes up with a bright idea, it's a bright idea how to serve Krishna, not a bright idea how to pursue some material sense gratification. So therefore, if we associate with the devotees, especially now we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, study the Bhagavad Gita, study the Bhagavatam, study the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we'll learn from that association. And by that association, we'll strengthen our intelligence so that when a mind comes up with some suggestions, we'll be able to ignore it or intellectually dismantle the pushings of the mind in such a way so that we can understand them for what they are and then be able to tolerate them. So sadhana and regulation. So we're doing the same things, same time, every day. And detachment. Tyag. Renunciation. How's that sound? That's Krishna's recommendation. Anything else? Okay. All right. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.